When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had to say to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
I'm going to call an audible. We have a lot of children here. The children come forward with a little bit of children's message before we have a service.
Come on up on the carpet here with me. I'm going to need your help here, Zach. In a little bit, I'm going to need your and Russell's help.
Sure.
When it comes time to... Wow, look at all these people. Wow. Oh, beautiful dresses, nice looking outfits. I don't see any bow ties tonight. That's okay. We love bow ties. Good-looking tie, though. Good-looking tie. I like that. This morning, when we had church, I showed everybody one of these. And you remember what it is, don't you? It's a candy cane. I showed everybody the candy cane, and I said that a long, long time ago, kids did not go to Sunday school. They were taught the Christian faith in their homes. Mom and Dad read them the stories of Jesus, and they gave them something called a catechism, a question answered, and they would teach the children what it meant to be a Christian. And the church members would all teach them what it means to be a Christian. But there was a Sunday school. People in the churches would go to the factories on Sunday afternoons when children, the age of some of you, would be working all day. And the only time they had off was Sunday. And they didn't have a chance to go to school. So the people in the church would go to them and teach them to read and write, and their textbook was the Bible. In worship, children stayed in worship, and they were given a church mint. Well, a very entrepreneurial candy maker decided that for Christmas he was going to make a church mint in the shape of a candy cane. This candy cane reminds us that in the Gospel of John, Jesus says to his disciples and everyone who will take him seriously, "I am the good shepherd, and I have sheep who are not of this fold. I must go and gather them too." Then he said to his disciples before he left, "I want you to go into the world and tell others what I taught you. And tell them about God's love." So the candy cane reminds us of a shepherd's crook who was Jesus as the good shepherd. The red and white stripes on the candy cane, the red reminds us of Jesus' blood that was shed for each one of us. The white reminds us of Jesus' purity, that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb that took away the sins of all the world, your sins and my sin. In a letter called 1 John, the writer says, "God is love, and perfect love casts out fear." So there are many things we can be afraid of in this world, but there's one thing we should never be afraid of, and that is God. Because God is love, and perfect love cast out fear. Now I'm going to ask Mr. Russell if he would help me distribute some of these, and Mr. Zach will help, and I want to have a word of prayer here first. Let's have a prayer together. Our Lord God, we are thankful that you are the Good Shepherd, that you came into the, that you sent Jesus into this world to take away the sins of the world, and that your love for us is perfect, and that nothing can ever separate us from your love in Christ Jesus, who is our Lord. Amen. So, if you'll see them, and we'll get everyone, as many as we can here. Here, my dear. And going back to your seat. We have a bountiful and merciful God blessing us with so many young disciples in the making. I'm also going to ask you, if I just spoiled someone's appetite, I didn't pass out the candy canes. Join me in the spirit of prayer. Almighty God, our light shining in the darkness, we give you our thanks and praise that the light of your love came into this world in the person of Jesus, God of God, light of light, true God of true God. Through him you created everything that is seen and unseen. In him you gave us life, and through him you gave us a window into eternity. For those of us who have grown so familiar with the story that it begins to sound like old news, stir within our own hearts a renewed sense of wonder. Astonish us with the gift of your love. Kindle hearts that have grown cold. Help us to feel within our innermost being good tidings of great joy. Humble us like those shepherds who were abiding in the field. We too marvel at your glory. And we ask that you receive our unfeigned thanks and gratitude. Enable us to share the good news of your love for us in Christ Jesus with others through both our word and our deed, so that the whole world may experience this good news for themselves and be transformed by it. And Lord God, may those things said this evening that are true be engraved upon every heart, and anything said that is false may it be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. Text for this evening comes from 1 John. John 1, rather. Excuse me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning with God, all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of humanity. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from John, from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to that light. That was the true light, which gives light to everyone coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of humanity, but the will of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the third day after the winter solstice, the darkest and longest night of the year. In the midst of darkness, John tells us his gospel story. He says that there is a light that the darkness has not and cannot overcome. Jesus told his listeners in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. One doesn't light a lantern and hide it under a basket, but rather let your light so shine before others that they will see your good works and they will give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In the stillness of a dark night, an angel of the Lord stood before shepherds watching their flock, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. And the angel said, "Be not afraid, for I am bringing you good news of great joy. For to you this day in the city of David a Savior has been born." And then a multitude of the heavenly host filled the skies, praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill to all." A few months ago, I was in Scotland on a short sabbatical, and while in Edinburgh, I saw the home of Robert Louis Stevenson, where he grew up. Stevenson was a sickly child. His biographers believe that he probably had tuberculosis. One evening, he sat in his bedroom and peered into the darkness of the night out the window of his room. And his parents walking by inquired of him, "Robert, what in the world are you looking at out there so intently?" And with great excitement, he pointed to the City Leary lamplighter. "Look at that man," Stevenson said. "He's punching holes in the darkness." Someone far wiser than I once observed that when we take Jesus seriously, we dedicate ourselves to furthering the purposes of God's kingdom here on earth. And in so doing, we punch holes in the darkness of the world. When we are willing to sacrifice our own comfort and our own resources in order to help others in need, we punch holes in the world's darkness. When we pray for those individuals who dislike us or despise us or even hate us to the point of wishing that we were gone or dead, when we pray for them, we are punching holes in a world of darkness. And when we take time to listen, to really listen to someone else, we punch holes in the world of darkness. When we let go of worry and replace it with praise for God, when we recognize the tiny glimpses of God's grace that sprinkle our daily lives, when we develop a spirit of gratitude, we punch holes in the world of darkness. And when we offer kind words in return to harsh ones, when we turn the other cheek, when we walk the second mile, when we give up our second coat, we punch holes in the world of darkness. This is perhaps arguably the second of the most holiest of nights in the Christian faith, the other being the night before Easter. On this night, we do well to remember that the light of God's love came into this world through the birth of a child, Mary and Joseph's child, the Son of David, the Son of God. May this light enlighten your path when you enter into the realm of darkness. May God's comforting presence comfort you in the midst of your affliction. May the true gifts of this season, faith, hope, joy, love, and peace, abide with you tonight and tomorrow and forever. To God be the glory, both now and forevermore.